Well, take your Bibles, please. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 5. We are in Matthew chapter 5 this morning. And as you take your Bibles and go to the first gospel, Matthew chapter 5, again, I want to ask you, what does it mean to do something from the heart? What does it mean to do something more than just in a perfunctory way, to do it as an obligation? What happens when a pastor no longer loves the people of the church that he is in, and he just goes through the motions? It's true, I've been here now exactly 15 years. It was 15 years ago this Sunday that Don and I, the first Sunday of July 2002, that Don and I came with our three young children, and our services were held in the fireside room. That's where we started. We started in the fireside room as just a small group. And it's been 15 years. And it's funny because over the years, I have met pastors who consistently change churches every 3 years. That's just their pattern. They have 3 years' worth of messages. They have them in a file. And when they get towards the end of those 3 years of sermons, it is time to move on to another congregation. During those 3 years, there really weren't any problems. During those 3 years, you can pretty much, I can't because it's impossible with me. In 3 years, it's possible for some pastors to not offend anybody or not really do anything wrong. And so they just move on. But the whole thing is, imagine if you said to your three-year-old, well, you know, your mom and I always wanted to have children, and we decided we get a new child every 3 years. Would you do that? You know, Destiny, you're 3 years old, make way for Dylan. No, it doesn't work that way. And church is family. We're called brothers and sisters in Christ because we're what? Brothers and sisters in Christ. We're meant to go through this together. And my goal, I was at the church before this one for 7 years, but my goal was to be at that church for 70 years. And I've always said to myself, one wife, one ministry. That was what I wanted. And it's funny, but it's now been 15 years, and I feel like I just got here. In fact, the elders right now, we're in process of not just wanting to add to our elders board, but we're in the process of rolling out a vision plan to really jump ahead and to grow and to get excited and to really see God do something special for the next 15 years, if the Lord gives us that. And I'm super excited. But the whole thing is this, is that when you sign up for family, when you sign up for marriage, when you sign up to have friends, when you sign up to be in a church, well, there's going to be ups and there's going to be downs, and it's very easy just to walk away, especially in a consumer-oriented culture where it's like, well, I'm a little unhappy because I didn't get things my way. I remember when we put in the patio and we took down a horribly messy ornamental plum tree that the roots were destroying everything. And it was, you know, it wasn't very big, and so it was within code to cut it down. And someone got so upset, and they demanded. It was like we broke the law. They practically threatened to call the city on us for cutting down a tree. And when they found out that, well, it was unnecessary to get a permit, and it was unnecessary to go through this, and yes, we had permission and everything, well, they huffed. And it's frustrating. And it's funny, but you can't do that. If you do that in a marriage, if there's a problem, you can't just walk away. Don't do it. We had some friends over yesterday who drove quite a distance to come visit us. And I looked at them jokingly, and I said, thank you for still being married. And they laughed. But within our circle of friends, we've watched some marriages dissolve. We've watched some people try to remarry, and there's been a disaster in that whole thing. Marriage is hard work. Church is hard work. Family is hard work. And it's not in my notes, but I can't help but think of the couple that were married for 60 years, And you've heard this one before, but it's worth repeating. And they looked at the wife, and they said to her, in your 60 years of marriage, you can probably say it with me by now, did you ever think of divorce? And the wife said, divorce, never. Murder, several times. And that's the truth, isn't it? It's a lot of work. It's hard being a child with a parent who's flawed. It's hard being a parent with a child who's flawed. It's hard just being in a flawed world. And that's why, let me tell you, not very often do I work on messages and just can't wait to get to Sunday to preach those messages. And this is one of those Sundays where I'm just like super excited. And here's the passage, Matthew chapter 5, verse 39 to 41. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. Now, there's all kinds of interpretations on this. Are they talking about Satan? No, they're not. Because there are other places where Paul says to resist the evil one, to stand firm against our adversary, the devil, but this is not the place. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 39, when he says this, when he says, but I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil, he's talking about human relationships. He's talking about people, even church people, who have an intent. In my previous church, I had the people who were King James only. And even though the board said I could preach from the NIV, they made it their goal to consistently seek to stir up trouble because I wasn't a King James only person. In fact, it bothered them that I had something like 500 verses from Bible college memorized in the King James, and I could quote the King James just off the top of my head, but I chose to use a translation of the Bible that would reach unchurched people and be in the language of today. It was silliness, but they wouldn't let it go. You know, I looked at, when I talked about losing heart and giving up previously, I had to let a worship pastor go. He had taken the youth group from 50 down to 5 in this church that I was at before. He'd lost his passion. He had taken on the position because the church he was senior pastor at was about to fire him, and so he basically jumped out right before he got fired into the church I was at and was there when I arrived, and he was supposed to do worship and youth ministry, but he did nothing. He would come in at 10 o'clock and leave at 11 o'clock to go have coffee with his friends and wouldn't be around for the rest of the day. Now, I don't know if you guys, have you guys ever noticed my work habits? I'm kind of not the person you want to work with if you think I don't expect you to work hard. Not really. And finally, we gave him a choice. You can stay, but you have to put in an honest work schedule. Or we will give you, I think it was 6 months of salary and benefits, and allow you to find another place. Well, guess what he chose? And then he stirred up all kinds of problems and trouble. And that trouble continued. And it's interesting, do not resist the one who is evil. There were people who wanted to be fired after he chose to resign. And then there was the infamous wedding. 2 years in October of, I think it was the year 2000. I came here in 2002. The year before, we'd met an unsaved couple who did all kinds of charity work in the community. And their big thing was at Halloween. This unsaved couple would decorate their home, and they would charge, I think, $2 a person, $5 a family, for tours of their home at Halloween. And all the money went to a charity called Christmas Daddies, which was meant to buy Christmas gifts for children who were in foster care or who had no Christmas at all. Cool couple, right? What made it really interesting is that he was about this high, she was about this high. And we were invited by another Christian couple to their home at Halloween. I think it was around Halloween, because they never had it on October 31st. They always had it on the 28th or the 29th or something. And they invited us to their home, and the big deal was spaghetti and meatballs at midnight. So we go there, and it's just a nice time of fun. We'd call it fellowship. We're at their home, having just a nice evening of appetizers and meeting people. And I was being introduced, and at the end, after midnight, it was just after midnight, after I had spaghetti and meatballs, that the couple come up to me and say, "Are you a pastor?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And they said, we thought so, because Mike, you know, Mike and Denise, you know, they are friends. They had said that you were a pastor. Well, we've lived together for 7 years. We have a six-year-old son, and we'd like to get married. But we're not church people. And we were raised in this one religion, and it would be hypocritical for us to have a church wedding. Now, isn't that kind of neat for people who aren't churched, unsaved people, to kind of say we're not going to, and they said it would be hypocritical of us. And for me to wear white and all this stuff, they said, we'd like to have a wedding here at the house. And we'd like to do it. This has always been a special occasion for us because of the charity work that we do, stuff like that. And I looked around their home, and I'm not kidding you, they had a guillotine, and they had cobwebs, and they had everything Halloween you could ever have. They had an electric chair in the living room. And I said, "Well, where would we have the wedding?" And they said, "Well, I have an auto body shop right next door, and we would have it in the shop." And I said, "Well, what would the shop look like?" They said, "Well, we plan to curtain off all the," because he had, you know, workbenches with machinery all the way around it, "and we plan to curtain that all off, and then we have a great big huge open place where we'd like to just have some chairs." And I said, "Well, what about decorations?" They said, "Well, we're not planning to decorate. We just want to have the wedding in there. But we are going to have a costume party next year, and the theme is the Addams Family. And, you know, my husband's going to dress up as Gomez, and I'm going to dress up as Morticia." And so I said, "Well, let me think about it." And, you know, you have to understand how I operate, because I thought to myself, Jesus and Zacchaeus. Was Zacchaeus liked by people? Nope. Hated by the religious people. Then I thought of Jesus and Matthew, or Levi, he was known as. And when Jesus went to his home, what did the religious people think? How can you go with those kinds of people? And what did I think? I thought to myself, what would Jesus do? And I said, you know what, I'm doing it. And it's funny because just that time, the board had just passed. This board was a strange board. It was so legalistic. It was crazy. I'll talk about that another time. But they had just passed a resolution that I could not do certain kinds of weddings in the church building. But then they said, "But Mike, if you want to do any type of wedding you want outside the church, well, we'll leave that up to you. But we will not have certain kinds of weddings in our building." And specifically, they were saying they didn't want non-Christians married in the church building, and they didn't want a Christian to marry a non-Christian in the building. And I just said, okay. But they said, "If you want to marry two non-Christians somewhere else, that's fine. We don't have a problem with that." Well, guess what I did? I married two non-Christians at their home on October 29th. And it was beautiful. Most beautiful wedding I've ever done. The parents weren't even dressed up, and they were crying in the front row. And I talked about how why would a couple who have lived together for 9 years, I think it was, or 8 years, and have a seven-year-old son, why would they even want to get married? And I talked about what real marriage was and what real commitment was. The next morning, it made the front page of the paper. But the newspaper reporter wasn't even at the wedding. He just guessed what happened. And so I can cite it by memory. Amidst coffins and electric chairs and to the sound of eerie music, Reverend Michael Thorburn of Faith Baptist Church married Gomez and Morticia. Even the minister's wife joined in the fun by dressing up as Grandmama. And instantly they wanted to fire me. But I didn't leave. Because I stayed 2 years. Because I wasn't going to let people who don't have a heart for God ever tell me what to do. And that's just where it's at. And when we get to this passage, this is why I love the Sermon on the Mount so much. Because when we get to this passage, Jesus keeps saying, you've heard that it was said by those legalistic, religious, but not loving Christ people. You've heard it said, this is what it looks like, but I say to you. And right now, Jesus is going to hit at the heart. You have heard, verse 38, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. In other words, you hit me, I what? I hit you. In fact, it went beyond this. The purpose of this rule was to prevent me, you knocking out my tooth, I'm going to cut off your head. But what had happened, when he says here, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and tooth for tooth. Yes, that's scriptural, but is it Christ-like? And this is what Jesus is going to do here. And this is why we're going to pick up next week, and we're going to look at this. And what I think we're going to do is we're going to kind of skip away, because this message, the introduction kind of spun more into ministering to me than to you. Because I just have been poring over this. And it's like, why does this passage resonate so much with me? You know, it's funny. Can I tell you the rest of the story before we close in prayer? So I had left for national meetings. I was on national council in our fellowship. I was president of our region of churches. And I left Saturday morning, so I didn't get the newspaper. But suddenly I started to get phone calls saying that I was wanted back immediately because I was going to be fired. They even brought in a man from national office after I came back, after I was at the meetings, came back to sit there. And the whole thing was, it had nothing to do with the wedding. It had everything to do with the fact that I wouldn't preach from the King James. But they used this as an excuse. It had everything to do that I had been instrumental in letting this worship leader, who the previous senior pastor had wanted to fire, but, well, really didn't have the courage to do it. It was because of that. It was because of this. It was because of everything. And it's funny, but I just stayed. And that couple started to come to church. And there were people that wouldn't even talk to them. And not only did they start coming to church, but they sat right in the front on Sundays. And not only did they sit in the front, but as they heard the preaching of the gospel that you need Christ, and Christ forgives, and Christ heals, and Christ can give you, he won't take away problems, but he gives you the hope for those problems, they came to Christ. And here's what's really interesting. She had a beautiful singing voice. And when the worship leader, the new worship leader, heard her sing, it's like, hey, you should join the worship team. And now these people, not only did they have to not talk to her on Sundays, but they got to watch her sing beautifully on Sundays now on the worship team. And then they had the audacity to go up to the cherished Bible camp that church had started, and I baptized them in the pool there. What a tremendous couple that we love. And I stayed. You know, and let me just, this is where it goes from testimony to bragamony. Because I was on national council, because I was president of the region, I had a little bit of notoriety. Over those 2 years, I had 27 churches approach me asking me if I'd like to be senior pastor. I have all the letters. I have one church that I just knew it wasn't the right one because they wanted me to transition them from King James to NIV. Wasn't going to another church like that, I can tell you that. They wanted me to transition them from hymns only into more contemporary music. Wasn't going to go there. I love the people. But it's just interesting, the stories. But you know what's funny? In those 2 years, there was only one church I fell in love with. And at first, things didn't work out. And it was a year later that I was asked if I was still interested. Over 2 years. And you know what that church was? This one. I kept saying to Don, really, there's only one church that has my heart that I would really ever think of coming to. And it was this little church of tired people in San Jose. I just fell in love. I just felt this is where God wanted us to be. So this is my 15th anniversary message, I guess. And I'm ready for another 15. And we're getting ready. The elders, we have a vision plan. We're getting ready. We've decided not until we're fully locked and loaded and we can fire on all cylinders and we make sure we're standing firmly on the equator of God's will, you know, but we're ready because we want to see God do something special and do something good. And I hope you guys are ready for it because we just want to see God do something special. And so you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Well, Jesus has something better in store for you. And it's to follow his will completely in the Spirit of Christ. Let's pray.